With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Brilliant on basketball, brilliant on football, play-by-play. Ian Eagle with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone. Did you ever consider, with your fascination with professional wrestling as a child, following in the footsteps of Mean Gene Okerlund or the great Gordon Solie down here in the Deep South, and becoming a wrestling announcer?
Mean Gene was a hero of mine. I'm not one that ever got nervous around famous people, but I ended up in an Atlanta airport on the escalators. And who was on my escalator going up but Mean Gene, about three steps ahead of me. I didn't have a chance to introduce myself. I just gave it a hey, Mean Gene, love your stuff. And he turned around, waved, and then walked off into the beautiful Atlanta sky. And that was the end of it.
The best way to kick off your day is with Defo plus Luby. We now return to the Defo Show.
Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I'll be spiked out. I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I'm most definitely.
Of course, Mike Luby Lubitz, a.k.a. Luby Brown, with you. 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone. Around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Looking very much forward to this conversation. Now, as you guys well know, over the 40 years of broadcasting here in South Florida, I've talked about my upbringing in Brooklyn many, many times, and I thought it laid a tremendous foundation and was an eye-opener, even as a young child, for the Meshuggah-like life that I was about to lead and walk into. I mean, I was robbed a few times as a kid, jumped when outnumbered by groups and gangs. There was a 20-year-old in my third-grade class who was not exactly matriculating very well. We gambled on everything, marbles, baseball cards, money, whatever we could. But I don't know that any of that is as Meshuggah as Brooklyn is about to become right now. We welcome to the show. Not only outstanding, and let's face it, if Nance wasn't here in footsteps before, this Nickelodeon thing, my God, the Alberts are here in footsteps now. Incredible. We welcome to the show the great Ian Eagle, play-by-play voice of the Brooklyn Nets. And thank you, Ian. I understand that you had offers from Good Morning America. Yes. Everybody, even Joe Theismann wanted you on a podcast today, and you chose to honor your commitment to our show. We respect that a great deal, and thank you so much. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm juggling a very difficult schedule. I've got a big hit with Hello Brooklyn later on, about a half hour from now. That's a huge morning show. It's been a phenomenon. It's broadcast just in the borough of Brooklyn. So we'll do our thing, and then I'll move on with my day. I have many, many important appointments that I have to keep.
Who would be more appropriate to be the next assistant coach hire there? For Steve Nash, would it be Dr. Phil or Jerry Springer?
I thought you were going Dr. Joyce Brothers, I must admit. That's where I thought you were going with this. I try to read your mind. I know you're going to mention some kind of world leader from the past
yes,
at some point
that's
over the course
up.
Of the interview.
Yeah.
Could be Stalin, could be Idi Amin, we don't know yet. But I felt a premonition that Dr. Joyce Brothers was going to pop up.
If I could have thought of it.
It was either Dr. Joyce Brothers or Dr. Ruth, either way.
If I would have thought of it, believe me, I would have brought it up. That's for sure. Well, I mean, in conjunction with that, I'm looking at the parameters of this deal here. And it involved four teams, James Harden. Of course, that was speculated upon earlier on, and whenever you have NBA speculation, you usually just throw it right out the window once it becomes public. And yet it seems like the parameters of this deal are a lot like the small print in the nuclear package that Obama made with the Ayatollah. Might be.
There it is.
How on earth? I mean, four teams involved here, and how did Victor Oladipo slip into the picture?
You know, I remember reading about the Shah of Iran as a young boy. No, that has nothing to do with this deal.
Yeah.
What I think happens in these situations, truly, when you have a blockbuster move and you have multiple teams, and By the way, the deal that we heard last night may not exactly be the deal that actually happens today. So keep your eyes open. There might be some changes. There might be some adjustments to who is going where and which team is acquiring which player. But the fact that this had legs before the season even began, I think that plays a big role in this. The Nets were always in the picture. The Sixers were always in the picture. And because it was those two teams in particular, I think that kept the Nets' interest alive. In addition to wanting to acquire James Harden, which clearly they had an interest in from day one, they also wanted to make sure that Philadelphia did not acquire James Harden. As they're looking at the big picture here and trying to figure out who their competition is going to be in the East, they clearly were concerned with the possibility of Harden and Embiid combining forces in Philly. And I do think, because there are question marks right now in regards to Kyrie Irving and what his role is going to be on this team moving forward, that the Nets were even more motivated by the fact that they needed to get a player of the status of James Harden in their system to complement Kevin Durant. They have designs to win a championship. They have moved their chips to the middle of the table. I'm not saying that just for you, Defo. It's a good analogy for
anyone. It helps our audience understand it. If you want to illustrate a point to our audience, go gambling vernacular every time.
they're looking to win the whole enchilada. And in doing so, they've committed to the idea that this is the year under the strangest of circumstances, potentially, with no fans in the arena, with weird travel, with a strange schedule, with a truncated schedule. They're looking to seize the opportunity and win a championship.
As I come to you from the Off Lease Only Studios, Defo comes to you from the Barefoot Beach Villas Verbal Laboratory. Look, Jim Nance has already heard footsteps. I now feel bad for the Alberts, for the Bucks. I mean, they're talented duos, father and son. They really are. But when you have Ian Eagle and No Eagle, you're not beating that. So we are now with Ian Eagle here. I'm on that. It's funny you said it, because all day I heard, watch out for the trio. And I'm like, well, with what we've heard from Irving, I don't know about the trio. This feels like, to me, the move to make sure they have that second guy, and we'll see what Irving is. Where do you think Kyrie Irving fits in at this point? Because he's now missed five straight games, and it feels like the Nets just finally figured out where he is.
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't know where he fits in. I think this has surprised them. I don't believe they anticipated this. They felt that things were going smoothly. They felt that Kyrie and KD were on the same page, and that Steve Nash had a good feel for the dynamic of the superstars, and this has definitely surprised them and come out of left field. So how these things happen, look, right now, any journalist will tell you, any broadcaster will tell you, any beat reporter will tell you, you have less access than you've ever had in your career, and you're trying to piece things together, you're trying to put the jigsaw puzzle pieces together. In my mind, this is something that is of legitimate concern. This is no longer, oh, yeah, it's a game. He needed to gather himself. This is now at the stage of, we're not quite sure how this is going to play out. Even if he shows up in a couple of days and gets back into the swing of things playing, it doesn't mean that a situation like this may not pop up again. So, Luby, I think you're on to something. I think the Harden aspect of this became even more important in their eyes to get it done. And it looked like it was irreparable in Houston. Once Harden, in the post-game press conference, said that this isn't for him and it's not working here and I've given everything I can here, you pretty much knew it was done. And now it was just a matter of time.
The great Ian Eagle with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. I don't know if you were in on this interview, but I saw a post-game interview with Steve Nash, and he was kind of tap-dancing Belichick style as politely as he could around the Kyrie Irving questions. And I don't know if you saw the image of him, if you were on some kind of Zoom thing or whatever, however they're doing the interviews after the game, but he looked like Hubie Brown after the second round of the draft on ESPN when he took his makeup off and threw the microphone down and said, what, 90 hours of this? Hyperbole? I can't keep it up? What's happening with Steve Nash? Because this has to be a real eye-opener for him. I mean, this is a guy that could smoke some Kenyan if he ran a marathon, and he looked like he was 1 foot out of the grave there.
Yeah, I think it's been eye-opening for him, everything that comes with the job, but also under these very unique circumstances where you don't really have a whole lot of human contact and interaction. Everything he's done with the media has been done via Zoom. He hasn't met a beat reporter. He hasn't shook the hand of a team broadcaster. None of it. It's all been virtual. So let's just toss in being a head coach in the NBA for the first time when you've never done it before. All right, that's the first part of the equation. The second part, you're going to have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on your team. Okay, that sounds challenging, but I'm ready for it. Third part, you're going to have a blockbuster trade 12 yeah. games into the season that is going to be the talk of the NBA, and you're going to be the face of the organization that's going to have to deal with every single question regarding this deal, although you're not allowed to talk about the deal because it's not official yet. And then you're going to have to figure out how to mesh all of these personalities. So I think Steve is a really likable guy. I think he knows his stuff. He's trying to figure out what it takes to be a head coach. He's leaning on his staff, but he's also trying to lead the way that he believes is in form for this. And with that said, there are definitely speed bumps here. He's getting a crash course in a very short period of time. We're just 3 weeks into the season, and you're right. It looks like Steve has dealt with an eight-year tenure already, packed into less than a month.
It's like those early pre-presidential pictures of Obama, right?
When, yes.
and then 8 years later, that was it.
Right, right. All right. When Steve looks like Wilford Brimley after game 22, you're going to say, what happened here? This guy was in incredible shape, youthful, he had a glow. I think he's handling it, though. He really does have a zen-like quality to him, and that's going to serve him very well over the course of what's going to be a very intriguing season for this franchise.
You look like an extra in your dad's Mr. Cholesterol commercial, I
think. Yeah, the guy at the dinner table dining his wife with butter.
My arteries! All right, one final thought on this, and we want to move on to some football here. And, of course, the very notable achievement of your son, who is dynamite. And as Luby was alluding to, I know the Alberts are shaken by what's transpiring here. So you have everybody on the run. It's incredible. But is it fair to refer to Kyrie Irving as Kanye West with a jumper?
I have yet to use that description over the course of the net broadcast.
I wouldn't recommend it when you're working with a team.
You're probably not going to be well received.
I've
had nothing
Eagle.
But positive experiences with Kyrie. He grew up a Nets fan. He watched the broadcast as a kid. So, as you can imagine, we felt an instant connection. He could go chapter and verse because it was ingrained in him in regards to the Jason Kidd, Kerry Kittles, Keith Van Horn. That group really captured his attention. As far as his gifts as a player, from a play-by-play man standpoint, he played 20 games last year. It's as if he played 82 games in terms of how many highlights he produced. He is truly a master out there. He really has so much natural ability. He's worked hard on his game. The part that you can't quite figure out because you just don't really know what's happening behind the scenes is where his head is at. And if he is truly motivated to do this or if there are other interests in mind that have captured his attention more. And that's the concern right now for the Nets franchise, trying to sort out where he is mentally and whether he can be a part of this thing moving forward. That's a legitimate question.
All right, I had a legitimate question last week. I was trying to find the football game, and you know, I couldn't see any channel. It wasn't listed on CBS in any guide that I was looking at on TV, and I'm still old school. I still actually subscribe to TV Guide and, you know, get that for the crossword puzzle. But
yeah.
So I keep seeing...
I got a great edition last week with Ed Asner on it.
He really was quite the staunch stickler for detail as a city desk editor that he was. And funny thing, one of the first interviews I ever did was with Ed Asner at the Beverly Hills Hotel. A friend of mine introduced me. We were in a bowling league together. I told him I wanted to write some celebrity stories. And Ed Asner, very accommodating and cordial and interesting gentleman. But that being said, I couldn't find a game. And it says it's on like channel 365, which I don't even know how to get to on my TV. And then I pop it on, and there's Nickelodeon. I think, what is this game doing on Nickelodeon? And how are they going to approach it? So they had Burleson, who, you know, really did a tremendous job. And I hear this play-by-play guy, and I'm thinking, this guy is doing a very difficult job extremely well because he's calling the game as an authoritative play-by-play guy would, but at the same time, he's kind of making it understandable for some 7-year-old that was tuning in, or maybe Hassan Whiteside that was looking to watch cartoons that day. And then...
It's funny you say that, Defo, because that morning when I had a chat with my son Noah, I said, look, just visualize, right before you go on the air, Hassan Whiteside. That's your demo.
Great minds do think alike.
that was a brilliant job. And you know, you do play-by-play brilliantly, and having dabbled in it, it's a lot of fun, but it's not easy to kind of straddle that fence there where you're talking to people who you think know the game inside and out, and then at the same time, you're thinking about people that never saw a game before. It's kind of like talking horse racing.
Yeah, it really was an exciting assignment, and Noah was beyond thrilled to get the call. And then when we had some conversations about it, I didn't want to inundate him with 20 things to think about before this game. His idea was, hey, I got to focus on the football first, which he did. First few days of the week, once he knew the matchup, New Orleans and Chicago, he buried himself in the football information, in the minutia. And then, to his own credit, he realized, because he was a Nickelodeon fan growing up, he had to really go back and bone up on some of that knowledge so he could blend it on the air. And the only thing I told him that morning, I gave him three things. I thought, you try to think in three sometimes because that's what your brain can process. I said, first of all,
oh, God.
I said, first of all, you've got to be a traffic cop. You've got to be able to weave in the stuff that you need, but also share it, a point guard, so to speak. Make sure everybody is touching the ball. Second, you have to have command. From the moment you guys come on the air, there has to be a clear idea of what it is you're looking to do, that this is not your typical football game, that you have control of the tone, and you're going to help set it from the very start. And then three, you got to have fun. That's the only thing that has to come out of this. When it's all said and done, when this game is over, when people watch the broadcast, they have to feel as if the people that were on the call had a good time. And I think that'll come across on the air. And I'm really proud of the fact that he checked all three of those boxes.
Did you hear from Marv at all?
No, you know, but one of
Eagle, what are you trying to do now, Eagle?
One of my lifetime highlights, and I mean this, Defo and Luby, this was a lifetime highlight of mine. 2 years ago, Kenny Albert had a July 4th barbecue at his house, and he has one every year, and I've been invited a number of times. But this particular year, this is when people would still get together. This was a whole different time. I don't know if you remember this era.
Yes. You could be around.
So we go to his house, and who's there? Marv is there, Albert is there, and Steve Albert is there.
Oh, wow.
First time that all three brothers are there. And somehow, over the course of the afternoon, I end up with all three, just me and all three, lined up having a conversation. And Steve is wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He looks like Don Ho. Al is
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Is dressed in shorts, and Marv is wearing a hat, and we're enjoying conversation. And I'm telling a story, and I get to the punchline, and all three Alberts laugh. And in succession, I swear to you, this is what happened. And it was the realization of a childhood dream. As I hit the punchline, Marv, Steve, and Al say the word, yes, 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 all three,
what?
In succession.
That's the best thing ever.
Wow. I couldn't believe it. I turned around, and there happened to be one person within earshot, Eric Spitz, who is a big radio executive at Sirius, who I've worked with for many, many years. I turn around just to see, is anybody watching this? And Eric happened to see it, and he said, that was unbelievable.
That's amazing. That's the best thing ever.
By the way, if you want to forward our number to Spitz and the segments of the show, we struck out with whoever was on top of him. The guy doesn't return my emails. I'm blocked now because I tried one of those Shawshank Redemption things where I was just going to write an email every week until the guy finally said, okay, you're hired. Here's your books. Here's your library. All right, final thought here, and always very generous with your time, especially when everybody's pawing at you today. The great Ian Eagle with us here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, the iHeartRadio app. What involvement, if any, will you have in these NFL games over the weekend? And what do you think? I mean, what is the one thread that you're most attracted to of all of the games, the four games that are left on the slate?
Yeah, so involvement this week is non-involvement. I am back
right
next week in a play-by-play role at the AFC Championship, so looking forward
nice
to that. Obviously, I saw Buffalo and Indianapolis last week in person, and what a story for the Bills to emerge the way that they have, and Josh Allen playing like the real deal, and that community getting to celebrate a playoff win. It was awesome. Awesome for them. I think it's going to be really challenging for them this week. That's the game that I've circled as probably the most difficult to really come up with a feel for, because it's ironic. Baltimore, a year ago, I did that playoff game against Tennessee where they just got crushed. They got dominated, and they had such a good regular season, and they were not prepared for the moment. This year, I feel like they are better suited to go on a run than they were a year ago, and that's obviously counterintuitive because of the kind of regular season they had. They had some dips this year, yet they're stronger today. They have a better sense of who they are today than they were going into the divisional round last year. So that's the one that sticks out to me, and I'm curious to see if it plays out the way that I think it may play out. I think this is going to be a really big challenge for Buffalo.
By the way, brilliant job on that Buffalo game. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
And you nailed it there, totally characterized the game and the emotion of it at the end. And you didn't have it written down on your cufflink like Michaels did when he said, do you believe in miracles? But that 25-year reference, man, was great. And they kept showing the Buffalo fans were very stereotypical, at least the guys that were featured on TV.
Yeah,
they were all eating like fried turkey legs and had grease dripping from their beards as they tried to stave off the cold. But it was great.
It's funny, from the broadcast, thank you, from the broadcast booth guys, normally when it's a full stadium, you don't really make any eye contact with fans. It's a sea of humanity, so
yeah, yes,
you can't really individualize the moment. But I noticed very early on, as there were 6,700 fans in attendance, there was one guy in particular that kept turning around, looking up to the broadcast booth.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, all right, I'm sure once the game starts, he's going to get locked into the game. No, that wasn't the case. And I made eye contact with him easily five times over the course of the game. And it seared my soul. Like, he looked deep, deep, deep inside of me. And it threw me for a moment on a normal second and 10 run for 3 yards. I had to collect myself because of this guy's gaze.
So that's the one difference when you only have 6,700 fans. You could just start calling the fans by name individually in grace if you wanted to. It's very interesting. It's very different.
Hey, Lou, turn around. Yeah, you're missing
Steve.
A good game.
I think it was Lou. Nice. I think his name was Lou.
Did he have bowling shoes on? That's always the test there in Buffalo, even in the snow. Alien, we love you, and congratulations.
He was wearing a fur around his neck.
I saw that.
Only a V-neck on his actual torso. It made no sense.
A couple of days later, he was at the Capitol building. It was amazing. Thanks so much. Ian, I could feel you quelling during that broadcast. It was fantastic. Your son,
yeah,
Noah, making his big splash on the national scene there, of course, doing the Clippers games on the radio. And, wow, outstanding. My son saw the aimless path of my career and decided to become a CPA.
And people are asking me, is he getting a lot of offers? Are the phone calls just coming in left and right? And he does have one pretty big offer. I probably shouldn't be talking about it, but Teen Telemundo is very heavy on his tail right now.
Nice.
So we're keeping our fingers crossed for Teen. He doesn't speak Spanish, so that might be an issue.
It doesn't matter. He can make it understandable if he could explain football to a 9-year-old and Hassan Whiteside. Unbelievable. Ian, we love you so much, and thank you so much for taking so much time today to be with us. I know you're in hot demand here with the Harden thing and everything else, so thanks so much for joining us as always on the show. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
Oh, the feeling is mutual, guys. When's the actual interview, guys? What are we doing?
Exactly. This is a preamble.
Are the Nets now the favorite to win the East? Ian Eagle joins us here. Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, that
feels big three work.
We
the
should
big
do that one
work.
Time. It would totally screw with his head.
We'll do a regular interview. Yeah, that would really be a toss in the dark.
See you guys.
All right. Hey, thanks. Always a pleasure. Ian Eagle. All right. You took some liberties there with the format, as Luby likes to point out. But I thought it was worth it there. Ian Eagle, always brilliant here and right in the center of what's going on in the sporting world. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Brown Lubitz. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I got some catching up to do. It's 9:30.
Winning pick threes, doubles and exactas and trifecta keys, overs and unders and long gambling flings. These are
a few of my favorite things.
Bookies and loan sharks who charge little juice, parlays and long shots and wins by the cues, blackjack and roulette and pairs of pocket kings. These are a few
of my favorite things.
Natalie Rodriguez, ladies and gentlemen.
The modern-day odd couple, Defoe and Louie, are on now. It is, of course, The Defoe Show.
That was brilliant, by the way. Better tone than Julie Andrews. And better looking than Aaron Andrews, no? Would you would say? Natalie Rodriguez on that?
Oh, heaps it.
That was tremendous.
Leaves him
out. Luby Lubitz. All right, that Ian Eagle thing, I believe Luby's going to post that up on 940wins and 1230thezone.com. If you'd like to hear any portion of that or you missed Ian Eagle, I would suggest you check that out. And, of course, we are also wholeheartedly recommending the Tiger thing. You definitely have to watch that first part of the documentary because the second part has got steam coming out of it already. This Rachel, you could tell when she sits down, it's like Henry Hill sitting down to point the finger at Paul Sorvino as the actor in Goodfellas. And you can just tell that this is going to be very uncomfortable. And that's what Mark Cannizzaro is pointing out in his review of Armin Katayan's fine piece of work with Jeff Benedict on Tiger Woods, the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO. Absolutely outstanding. We recommend it 1,000%. We also recommend you tune in. Mike Mayo is the gambling gourmet. Let's Eat South Florida is his outstanding page on Facebook. They top 30,000. Subscribers to that.
Wow.
Thing, whatever it is. 30,000. I joined it a couple of years ago. They were at like 6,000, something like that. So this thing is really growing like a weed. It's incredible. And the Gambling Gourmet with some great food ideas from around town. Of course, I don't know. Does it go right back to the same handicapping theories now that we have new matchups? Green Bay restaurants versus Los Angeles. Obviously, the Rams heavily favored there. Bills with the chicken wings versus the crabs. And all of the stuff, I don't mean the physical crabs. Talking about blue crabs, crab cakes. Baltimore, are they known for anything else in Baltimore besides crabs?
No.
I don't think so.
Again,
Chiefs with the barbecue, Browns with the kielbasa. You would have to go Chiefs on that, no? Kansas City, much better known for its food than the Cleveland Browns or the Cleveland area would be.
Yes.
And I'm always going to go New Orleans, and this is a mismatch of gigantic proportions when it comes to the food. It's only 3.5 on the point spread, but
not even fair.
Saints and New Orleans food.
Tampa.
Versus the Buccaneers in Tampa with, like, one place. Their best restaurant is like a strip club, isn't it? At Burns Steakhouse, which many people feel is highly overrated and maybe a little bit too old school, kind of like that steakhouse that a friend of ours recommended wholeheartedly and did seem to be a little outdated. It's Circus Circus in Las Vegas. Who was it we were talking to that said they ate at the steakhouse there? Oh, no, they stayed there at Circus Circus. Remember we had some author on, and it wasn't really going that well
until we broke into the whole
Circus Circus.
Perlman, it was going well. He was just tired. It was early.
Yeah.
He was
fine, yeah.
So it started slow because he was tired, but when you said that, it woke him up, and the rest of it was amazing. Jeff Perlman, the guy that has written the book on Trump and the USFL and Walter Payton and Brett Favre and the Lakers twice. Yeah, he talked about it, and he took his daughter there.
Yeah. But a big mistake. If you're going there for the shrimp cocktail, I would say the steakhouse was all right. I didn't think it was that great. Other people might disagree. They said it was the finest in Las Vegas, the steakhouse. And real old school, I'm telling you. I don't think they had a waiter under 90 years old. So it was amazing. That is special tonight? Yeah, I'll have to check with Lou. All right. What's special? Back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitz. Hardened to the Nets. We talked about that extensively. Well, with a great Ian Eagle and got some great insight into that. Tomorrow we'll be out at Gulfstream Park, Trackside Gulfstream Park, Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday, our handicappers. The professor, I guess, drops out of the picture there with the college football since that's over, but we will have Mark Lawrence and Brandon Lang and the gambling gourmet, Mike Mayo, as well. Back with more in a moment on today's show. Now that.
The time.
Yes, it's today's show, Depot. It's 9:40. Why do you have to be some Robert Merrill type to sing that song? Oh, see. I mean, really, you got to have that deep voice. It's always some weird-looking guy, too, that looks like he's had, like, bad experiments with ways to replace his hair.
We now return to the Defoe Show.
Welcome back to the show. We have a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday edition coming up tomorrow. Brandon Lang is in. Going to try and get a hold of Len Robbins on the show, Mark Lawrence as well. We'll have the gambling gourmet, Mike Mayo. If you're not familiar with that segment, Mike Mayo, of course, longtime sports writer. And, wow, was that impressive last week when he went around the horn there and picked all six playoff games based on the food that would be common in whatever city it was that was playing?
That was great. He broke down every city.
Like,
that was. I had never thought about doing it that way because I know women will pick horses based on the color, and every track guy is disgusted by that. But I liked what he did. You break down the matchup by food known in that city.
Yes, and you know, the reputation, and obviously the ability to go ahead and feed massive numbers of people. Great, great cuisine. New Orleans is going to win out every time. Does New Orleans win out over L.A.?
Yes.
If you get that matchup, if it turns out to be Rams-Saints, who wins the food matchup there, New Orleans or Los Angeles? I'm going to say New Orleans because it's so centralized, and then any place you walk into, you can walk into the worst-looking, ugliest dive bar anywhere in and around the French Quarter there and sit down and have a gourmet meal. It's amazing. Some guy that looks like he was changing the oil in a car out in the back there comes in and turns out that's, hey, this is Chef Louis. Yeah, he's been shucking oysters all day. And then you get something, some etouffee thing that just knocks your socks off. It's absolutely fantastic. Of course, you need a cardiologist there in New Orleans. That is a sodium bomb ready to explode inside your system, is it not?
There's not much there that you walk away going, that was light and not heavy at all.
Yeah. High blood pressure and sufferers of the gout. You might want to, cool it a little bit there when you're shoveling oysters in your face there off the grill with Parmesan cheese and oil and everything. Just absolutely fantastic. But anyway, yeah, I would think New Orleans wins out. They have home field advantage all the way throughout the playoffs and through the Super Bowl, do they not?
Yep.
When it comes to the culinary aspect of things. Anyway, the Gambling Gourmet tomorrow, Mike Mayo, he's outstanding and also a sick degenerate mind as well. So that's become a hot new feature of our deal. Volkswagen Degenerate Fridays gets underway. We're going to try and get to Mike about 9:20 tomorrow because the segment's become so popular. And, of course, you can check out Let's Eat South Florida. And that is great if you're looking for dining ideas, suggestions, a little bit of banter back and forth about particular places. Outstanding. Let's Eat South Florida. And that is done in conjunction with the Sun Sentinel by Mike Mayo on Facebook. Back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitz. Luby Brown. Oh, no, you really haven't weighed in on this thing yet. You haven't been too decisive. I guess everybody's wondering how the hell is that going to work. And among big threes, what will be the distinction of the Harden? Does Kyrie even show up? Is he?
That's my problem with it. I don't think it's a big three. Like I said it to Ian off of what he said. He agreed because right now Irving's sort of a non-factor.
Yeah. Well, he's disappeared. I mean, they're not saying what it is. As I said, Steve Nash, he really did. He looked like Hubie Brown when he wakes up in the morning. Not with the makeup on TV. Hubie, when he wakes up in the morning and realizes, whoa, I'm 88. And I love Hubie, and we love calling you Luby Brown in his honor. But still, I mean, you know, that could be a frightening sight, right? That's like that time that Jersey Kyle was with that girl, and then he woke up in the morning and her hair was that he admired so much the night before at the bar was on a styrofoam head the next day. I think that was his hair that was on a styrofoam head.
Was it her hair?
All right, back with more. Jersey will be with me tomorrow. Back with more to defend his honor. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I love the Packers. No, I don't know. Greek loved the Packers. He's coming on at 3. It's 9:50.
Either right hand or left handed. Get down in there. Jerk off the defender.
The only way to get your morning started is with Defo, joined by Luby, right here on The Defo Show.
A lot of fun being with you all throughout this morning's show. Of course, the Greek will celebrate his 2-year anniversary. He's got Earl. The Pearl Monroe. You talk about Dwight Freeney with the spin moves. Nobody had the better 360 spin move than Earl the Pearl Monroe. Was a revolutionary in the game of basketball. And, of course, big part of those brilliant New York Knicks teams back in the day when the Knicks were relevant. Which quickly dissipating. Tom Thibodeau for Coach of the Year kind of flying out the window very quickly. Unless they came back with some kind of miraculous comeback. I didn't see the final.
They've now lost 4 in a row.
Brooklyn was in complete command of that game, even though they have yet to have the services of James Harden, who they acquired yesterday. I guess the deal being finalized today, according to Ian Eagle, not completely done yet. And, of course, Kyrie Irving missing in action there. All points bullet now for Kyrie Irving. Steve Nash aging rapidly, as Ian referred to on the program. My thanks to Ian Eagle for joining us on the show. It's always a pleasure. And, of course, Tony Segretto. Our good friend with Old School with Tony Segretto, brought to you by Texas Roadhouse and Catholic Health Services. Tomorrow, very excited, Brandon Lang going to handicap some games for us, although you said he laid a giant giant egg last week, huh? Brandon Lang, he was
very confident. Well, he just went by way of you, so whoever was on the chalk last week didn't get to do so well.
He who bet chalk have no right to squawk. That's an old Asian proverb, is it not? I had to watch myself there, right? You got to be careful what you say anymore because of political correctness. But nonetheless, I don't know how politically correct we'll be tomorrow, and hopefully we'll be degenerately correct on a couple of things. Jersey Kyle will be out there. The Breezeway Bar at Gulfstream Park will be trackside. The Gambling Gourmet, Mike Mayo, going to be with us on the program also. And Mark Lawrence, the ultimate trend handicapper, who was 1-for-2 in his parlay, which essentially means,
when do we pay?
All right, so we'll try and straighten things out, get on the right path for you tomorrow. A deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday live from the beautiful trackside apron there at Gulfstream Park. From Mike Luby Lubitz, have a great day, everybody. I'm Jeff DeForest, the Greek 2-year anniversary. Help him celebrate today at 3 o'clock on 940 Winds in the iHeartRadio app. And we'll see you tomorrow at 6 from the great outdoors as we leave you now that.
The time.
Love watching those horses work out. It's 9:58.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Look what they done to my soul.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win?
Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.